That's right. Let's get it going. It's moving now.
It is coming.
Okay, good evening, Morro Bay, and welcome to the Thursday, August 18th episode of Public Works Advisory on Board. Please note that everyone is present and accounted for, and so hopefully we'll have an interesting evening. So that's item number one. Number two is, could we have a moment of silence, please, to open the meeting? All right. Number three, acceptance of the agenda. Would anybody like to accept the agenda? All right.
I second it.
I think that's sort of unanimous. We've accepted the agenda. And in our packet, I didn't see any announcements. We did have, no, we don't think we had any announcements, but moving on, we had a written communication. This is to the ACW, and this is from Pete Rogers. Oh, it's too bad I didn't see that. I'm going to think that this is what we're going to be talking about tonight, Jimmy?
That's correct. That's part of the agenda item.
Okay,
tonight.
So that's we'll be talking about that further. So that's not just written communication.
It was a response to the staff letter that was put together with some look at page.
Okay. It was a letter in response to a staff letter, and there's an attachment that might be something that we need to look at before you take that up as an agenda item.
And I was just going to mention that was actually an email communication that occurred after the agenda went out. Pete Rogers had emailed that to all the board members. So it wasn't part of the packet, but it is a written communication to you.
Okay, so I didn't have time to download that. Oops. Okay. But I guess we'll be talking about that later when we talk about the Estero Bay Transit Service. Next going on, we have public comments, but before we get to Bonnie and talking about water billing, would anybody else have any public comments to make? Oh, we do. Noah Smuckler.
Yeah, good evening. I am Noah Smuckler, your representative for the City Council, but speaking tonight as a member of the Volunteer Tree Committee and actually inviting you to our upcoming Dahlia Days Cypress Nights. Upcoming the weekend of August 26th and 27th at the Community Center, which is 1001 Kennedy Way, right here in Morro Bay. And, of course, Dahlia Days has been an ongoing tradition here in Morro Bay for many years. And this year, the Tree Committee has joined with the Estero or Morro Bay Garden Club to put together tree components. And we're very excited about the offerings this year. The event starts out on Friday with a wine and cheese reception and a lot of dahlia and floral arrangements and artwork at the community center in the evening, 5:30. And then the following day, Saturday the 27th, we are actually going to kick off the daytime activities with a very interesting tour that I think your board will be perhaps excited to attend. It's a downtown tour of our urban forest. And that tour leaves from the community center at 10 a.m., and we will be led by Dr. Matt Ritter from Cal Poly, and he's an author of multiple books regarding trees, very passionate about the urban forest. And he's put together, scouted out our downtown area and put together a tour of our downtown area. And the tour will last from about 10 until 11:30. And on the tour, we're planning on utilizing some of the great historical books that are available at Coalesce, written by local authors, that show pictures of what our urban forest and downtown area looks like over the last 100 years or so. So it should be a very interesting tour. Of course, it's open to anyone to attend for free. when we arrive back at the community center about 11:30, Dr. Ritter is going to do a short presentation about his book, Trees of California, starting about noon. And then throughout the rest of the day, and even while we're on our walk, the Dahlia Day's traditional events of artwork, floral arrangements, amazing Dahlia speakers like Kevin Larkin, who's internationally known for his expertise on Dahlias. We'll have raffles and all sorts of fun. So that's going to basically go on all day on the 27th. And then in the evening, the tree committee has put together a dance that's modeled after the old-time dances that we've heard about from these very historical books back in the early 1900s, where the community would get together, put their differences aside, and basically dance and have a great time with all ages. And we have an excellent band headlining the dance. It's the Red Skunk Gypsy Swing Band, a bunch of local musicians who are really, really doing a great job getting around the country now with their music. And that dance is starting at 5 p.m. following the Dahlia Day's activities. And we'll go till 9. We're going to have local food, beer, and wine. We've got some donations from breweries, restaurants, and wineries. And really, that's free to come out. Any purchases of the food, beer, or wine and non-alcoholic drinks will actually benefit the scholarship that the Dahlia Days and the Morro Bay Garden Club puts on every year. So I gave you some flyers there. I hope you have a chance to come out. And, of course, anyone in the public is welcome to join us as well on August 26th and 27th, Dahlia Days and Cypress Nights.
Thank you, Noah. It does sound kind of interesting. All right. Do we have any other further public comments? No. All right. Ms. Johnson. And Bonnie Johnson's here. She's going to do a demonstration of the water billing online for those of you at home watching this, or if you watch it after you stream it later when it's shown. This is a really interesting part of the city's website that Bonnie will explain.
As Matt said, my name is Bonnie Johnson. I'm the water billing clerk for the city of Morro Bay. And click on that blue link, underlined. And again, then it's going to take you to the next page. Explains a little bit more about the billing services. Down at the bottom, you have a link that says Access eSuite Online Services. Right there. Currently, temporarily, because we did a system upgrade yesterday, we're working on getting the certificate that states that this website is secure. It is secure, 100%. It just doesn't have the certificate right now for the next day or two. It was supposed to be up yesterday, but we're still working on it. So it is safe, even though it says it's not recommended, to move on to the next step. So at this point, you're going to put in your account number, the full eight digits, the dash, and then the three numbers. The three numbers at the end identify which customer you are at that address. So you do need to put in those last dash and last three numbers on your account. And you're going to put in your phone number. It does say numbers only, no dashes, but you're going to put in the area code along with the phone number. The part that people tend to have the most difficulty in accessing the account is when it's in putting in the name. When it says exactly as it appears on the bill, that means all caps. It does show your name in all caps on the bill, but that's usually overlooked. So to help you out with logging on, make sure you do type in your full name. We are using the City of Morro Bay's City Hall's account to do the demo. So then you're going to hit log in. It does take a couple minutes to find you. So once we're at this page, it gives you the account summary. It does have the little blue underlined links that you can hit view my bill or make a payment there to make it easier for you. It gives you your account total. The tabs across the top, the blue markers, are also all your other services. If you click on view bills, you can view any bill that we've generated since 2009 when we went live with this service. Takes a few minutes to load, so just be patient. But in the drop box where it says bill date, you can drop that box down and again view any bill that we've issued since 2009. It shows it in a little bit different of a format because we have a custom bill. Makes it a little bit easier to read. This is their general format of the bill, but it gives you the basic idea. It gives you your consumption, your total, your name, address, et cetera, just scroll down, and it gives you all that info. That way, if you want to print it for your records, you can. Gives your current charges, the breakdown of the current charges, your past due charges, your activity for each of the months. So then the next tab over, when you go back up, is your consumption analysis. If you click on that, you can view your water and sewer consumption. Your sewer is based on your water consumption, so the system unfortunately defaults to your service type of sewer. You're going to want to drop down on that box on your left-hand or right, yeah, left-hand side that says water. You're going to choose that and then hit update. And again, you can go all the way back to 2009 with your consumption history if you choose your from to to dates. It will eventually give you a graph, and then down below it'll give you it written out what your consumption was each month. Or you can view it by the dollar amount. So there's a lot of options. It's thinking. I always go by the little circle up on the left-hand corner, kind of under consumption history. It's going to think for a little while, so we'll just kind of continue on. In general, you do see a graph there, a bar graph that shows your consumption for as far back as you want to go. So you can see that it peaks at summer usually and kind of goes down during the winter if you address your landscaping issues. You turn it off in the winter, and your consumption usually is less in the winter. But you'll be able to track that, and it really is kind of a good tool for seeing if you're using more one year than the next year. Possible water leaks. Usually doesn't take this long. Could be a lot of different factors. Could be the wireless in the building. But if we want to move on, we can go to account history. Under account history, it gives you all your bills, your adjustments, penalties, payments, and a running total on each of them. So if you have any questions as to like how payments are being applied or what's exactly going on with your account, you can see a running total. You can pay any amount. You can pay your past due amount. You can pay the total amount, but you cannot pay more than what you owe. Only hit the tab once because it will charge your card however many times you hit that create payment button. Press only once. If you are having problems, contact your credit card company, see if they've processed your payment, or contact City Hall. Go to your transaction or your account history. The payment goes through immediately. You'll be able to see it on your account history if the payment is already there. We can now go paperless under e-bill enrollment, the next tab over. We currently have about 100 customers that are doing e-billing, and that is a pretty new feature over the last 4 months, I'd say. You're going to get an email each month on the first of every month letting you know that your bill is ready to view and pay. Unfortunately, the account number is not on that email, so I strongly encourage people when they sign up for e-billing to do a screenshot of your login, copy and paste it to your desktop, print it up, keep it somewhere so you know where to find your account number. Because if you're not getting paper bills anymore, it's really hard to find your account number. You're going to put in your email address, which we're going to go ahead and put in mine so that we can finish the whole process, which is bjohnson@morrow-bay.ca.us. And we're going to click e-bill only, or you can choose to get the paper invoice as well as the e-bill notification. Once you hit enroll now, you're going to get an email on your account email address that you just typed in there. So to make it easier, you're now going to log out of eSuite. You're going to log out of your account online. It's going to send you an email that's going to say, congratulations, you've enrolled in e-billing. To finish the process, you want to click confirm. So if you can go down that middle bar on the bottom, middle tab on the bottom where it says Novell Website Access, and hit update. Hopefully we'll get that email pretty soon over on your left-hand side. Down. It's in a pending status at this point. Until you get that email, you click on the Confirm Enrollment tab, and then again, you're going to log back into your account. So you can go ahead and log out of this account. The email. And again, just because of the Wi-Fi here, it might take a few minutes, but that's the basic process. You're going to want to log out as soon as you hit the enrollment. Log out of eSuite here of your account. Check your email. It's going to say confirm. It's going to be blue lettering with underlined, confirm your enrollment. It's going to take you back to the login page where you're going to, again, put in your account number, your phone number, and your name in all caps. And that'll then confirm your enrollment. You'll be enrolled in e-billing only or paper and e-billing at that point. There we go. So click on that. Double click. It's going to take a few minutes to load the whole thing, apparently. The whole email is not there. So here's the email that's sent out. Gives you basic information about what happens with the e-billing process. If you just click and confirm my enrollment, it's going to take you back to that login page. Again, it's going to say it's not recommended. Keep going. Log out of that. Type in the account number, phone number, and name again. Any questions so far while we're logging back in?
I don't have any questions. You're doing great. Having used this, I'm just totally ecstatic that you're coming to explain it for Morro Bay, and I hope we get so many more people than 100 using the e-billing.
I do too.
Are you finding that it's cutting down on your problems at the front desk when people come in about with problems with water?
It's just unfortunate that a lot of people don't read their bill, the portion that says you can now log in and view and pay and your bill and sign up for paperless billing. But it is getting out there more. We've only been up live with this for about 4 or 5 months, and I've got 9,800 people signed up for the e-billing now. A lot of people are getting more comfortable with going on. If they have a question on what their current balance is, they will log on to this and find out what their current balance is instead of calling. I don't mind the phone calls, but just, you know, if you're up at 10 o'clock at night paying your bills, you've got that information. So,
Bonnie, if anybody does have questions, would you be the contact person at the
yes.
city to call?
Okay. Yes. And my name and phone number is on the main web page when you log in to when you do the Google search. If you go back just to regular water services, all my contact information is on there. My email address, my phone number, my name. Not my firstborn, but we can put them up there.
All right. Are there any other questions for Bonnie?
Good presentation.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Bonnie, thanks very much for coming. I've been looking forward to this presentation just because I like using the service, and I know that this is going to be good for the city.
Absolutely. Thank
you very much.
No problem. You guys have a good evening.
All right. Good night. All right. Do we have any further public comments? No. All right. We move on to the director's report. No, approval of consent calendar, approval of minutes. Has everybody read the minutes from last meeting? Would anybody like to move to accept them? No. And all those in favor?
Aye.
All right. We accept the minutes from last meeting. Now we move on to the director's report. And Rob Livick is here tonight to be on the hot seat for this one. So opening it up, Steve, do you have anything? Maybe if we go left to right, and anybody has any comments?
I'm sorry. I did have some questions. It's in the street sidewalk storm drain maintenance and the pavement management plan. And one of the things I noticed was you talked about, one part says, finally the repairs will be scheduled. In the future, the city will be adding to the website a list of street maintenance queue, so you have an idea of when a pothole may be fixed. And the only thing I wanted to bring up is I understand the logic of how you're going after making the best streets stay good before you go after the streets that are actually failing. But I think at the end of the day, from a perception problem of the people out in the community, they're wondering, why is the street that's not that bad getting the work over while their street may be failing? And I guess the question, in your pavement management plan, do you actually label like a queue of when you have those streets lined up for rework that maybe could be added to the website so at least a person has an idea of what's going on? Because to tell them, you know, gee, it's going to happen sometime in the future sometimes doesn't get you too far down the road.
Yeah, we have the first 5 years in our pavement management plan of streets that we plan on doing maintenance on addressed there. And we can, that pavement management plan is up on the website.
Okay, I'm sorry.
For viewing, we're a little further update on that. As I said, council did fund a significant amount of road maintenance this year. Tomorrow, actually, we're going to walk that first list of streets and make sure that we have all the pre-repair areas identified and get a contract out to bid hopefully within the next couple weeks so we can do the first phase of probably about $500,000 worth of work in before we get some rain this year and then follow it up late spring next year with
I've got to ask because I wasn't aware of it on the pavement management plan. Is there somewhere on the website where people, when they're looking to see when, I guess what I'm driving at is a lot of times people aren't going to go through all the trees to get to the pavement management plan to try and figure it out. Is that labeled anywhere? What I'm trying to do, Rob, I follow your logic. I agree with your logic. However, it's a perception thing when people are out there. Do they truly know where to go to see when is our street looking to get fixed? I'm not sure if it shows up on the website under.
Yeah, we can take that information back and maybe highlight the
or tie it to that queue you've got going on for the maintenance.
Yeah, we don't have that up as of yet. We're working with our maintenance division to get that up. We can pull that information, extract it from the pavement management plan, maybe make it a little bit more easier, user friendly to rather so you don't have to read 53 pages of
e-request form on the website instead of digging through Parks and Rec. Because today I was looking for it and it took me a while to see it and it says e-request, but it was a little bit misleading. And so has that come up under consideration to make
it
more
actually
obvious?
The city manager would like that to be put on the front page rather than having to, because it's not obvious that most cities you don't go to recreation parks to find the request form for street maintenance. So we'll get that on the front page and probably with a better title than just e-request. Because
totally, because that could cover almost anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And having heard Mike Wilcox talk about it, I understand the logic. It's great. The Parks and Rec has a lot more money than Public Works. I think that's all right. And although we're talking about roads now at Public Works, but although we don't have that's not under our umbrella anymore. So
it is still under our umbrella, but it really wasn't about the dollars. It was more about there was two people on the streets crew that did similar types of maintenance to the people that were on the parks crew. both were doing tree trimming, some in the park, some on the streets. Both were doing pavement maintenance, some on parking lots, some in streets. So it made sense to combine these like services together. Public services was already a very large department with water, sewer, wastewater treatment plant, planning, building, and it was viewed that more attention could be given if it were in the Recreation and Parks Department. So the director, Joe Woods, and I coordinate regularly on street maintenance because, you know, they don't have the civil engineering experience in Recreation Parks, so they still rely on the city engineer to make recommendations on maintenance techniques, where they should focus on, that sort of thing. So I still have a foot in the door there.
I was going to say, they are strictly pothole patching. I mean, any kind of actual contract work to be done on the road still goes through Public Works, is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. We'll be running those contracts.
Okay, so then maybe in the next few months, 6 months, maybe we can see some sort of tab on the front for e-requests and then also something about the pavement management index?
Yes, yes.
That would be wonderful. I'm going to move to another item. Janine, I have a question for you. Talking about the Marbay, the cleanup week.
Yes.
Are you planning any sort of, besides Public Works, talking about it here, about promoting this somehow in the community?
The garbage company and their agreement is required to notice the residents. So I don't know if they do that on the bill or if in a newspaper ad. But I also put on the city website on the community calendar a notice that it's fall cleanup week, and I list some of the basic information and who to contact with the garbage company for more information. They usually during this time have a discounted bulky item cost, so it's not the full price, it's a discounted price, and you do need to call the garbage company ahead of time to schedule that pickup. So if you have a mattress, if you have an old refrigerator, large items such as that, you need to call the garbage company ahead of time. It's usually the Friday before the cleanup week to schedule that because they have a special truck that comes out to pick those up. But that's something that next week I'll be putting out, sending off to AGP Video to get onto the website.
And then also for those of you watching at home, the fall cleanup week is scheduled to September 12th to the 16th. You can put up to two cubic yards. It's equivalent to 12 32-gallon containers of material at the curb, but you just, as Janine's talking about, it has to be able to fit into those cans, right, Janine? And then all oversized items, you can contact the garbage company about getting them removed.
Mr. Chair, perhaps we can call on Councilperson Smuckler to make an announcement at the next City Council meeting, too, during the announcement section to remind folks. Thank you.
I've got to ask a quick question on that. Two cubic yards is a fairly large amount per unit. Has this been done in the past and work well?
This has been going on for some time because we do a fall cleanup and then a spring cleanup.
And that's been going on for over a decade.
It just seems huge. That's why. Thank you.
You'd be surprised at how much stuff people can put out. And we used to just have a spring cleanup week, and when we did the last garbage agreement, we had added the fall cleanup week. Sometimes people keep stuff until the cleanup week, so we wanted to make sure that we had two spread out throughout the year so the garages didn't get too full.
Well, also during the spring, I think we do it the week or 2 weeks after the garage sale, the citywide garage sale, correct?
It's actually the day after. Usually there's the citywide garage sale that occurs over the weekend in April.
Get rid of. The next thing, I had a question, and I think, Rob, this is for you. I don't know if this came up in the last 4 or 6 months at Public Works, but I noticed there was work in the last few months done at Lila Kaiser, these piping being put in. Could you explain what that was?
That was piping from the desal plant to our water distribution system, replacing some old piping there to basically better manage our water distribution, to pump that water up to our King's tank. So that's what that work was done. So it's outlet out of the desal plant, desal and brackish water RO plant, and into the system so that we can pump that water up to the King's tank for distribution, blending and distribution to the rest of the city.
And I guess that was planned all along, and that was just some not necessarily maintenance, but upgrading or something like that?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Does it happen to coincide with the piping along 41 there in terms of maybe to replace the kind of dilapidated or deteriorating pipes, or was this just something to upgrade to from the desal plant?
This was something for the desal plant. It's part of the whole brackish water conversion that is an ongoing process. The next steps in that are some electrical work that needs to and control work. That will be done probably after the state water shutdown is complete, that'll complete out that grant that we received from, I think it was a Prop 84 grant that we received for some improvements and upgrades to our desal plant.
And this coincided with bringing that next membrane online?
Correct.
Got it. Okay. And then moving on, I'm going to collection systems. Talking about the different lift stations, lift station 2 and 3, and design work, and this being so is the city moving ahead with putting those lift stations above ground?
The actual pumps will be below grade, but kind of the controls. We're getting away from the wet well, dry well system, so we don't have to have people go down below sea level to operate the lift station. All the controls and electrical components will be above grade in a small building, and then replacing the pumps with submersible pumps, so for ease of maintenance. And we're looking at the Front Street lift station, lift station 2, to be done this year following Harbor Fest, after that big event, and probably the lift station number 3, Quintana, sometime in probably late spring to get that one done. So that's the timing on those. Lift station 3 could possibly go earlier if
goes right. Part of my asking, after seeing this in the director's report, sometimes I've seen maintenance crews a number of times in the past number of months down on the bottom of Quintana at South Bay, and I'm just thinking maybe that work is moving ahead. That's all I'm asking about.
That's just either routine maintenance or that lift station continues to give us problems down there.
Did it fail last year? Get one of the
pumps went out, and we had to replace a pump, and then the dry well portion of it. It's been in the ground for a number of years. In a fairly corrosive environment. It's a steel dry well, and we're starting to get some corrosion. They've sealed it up the best they can, but we're still getting a little bit of groundwater that gets in there, and that's on the electrical side of things. So we don't, water and electricity don't really mix that well, so trying to avoid that, especially when you throw a person down there. It's not a very good idea.
Okay, and now I have another question. In that same item, collection systems, you guys have finished videoing all the collection systems for the city. I noticed some work being done on Greenwood today. Did that happen to do with it looks like there were some sewer and water trucks out there, and they were in a manhole cover, and I'm just had some hoses going down, and I just wondered if that was just part of the videoing or
not sure what operations they were doing today. Could have been routine line cleaning. That's fairly day-to-day kind of operation where they jet the line and then they vector it out. Not sure what the crews were actually doing today, but that would be a typical duty. If there wasn't a tractor involved in it, the street wasn't dug up, it probably wasn't a line repair.
Well, the video inspection was done by a third-party agency or like a contractor.
That's correct. This is for stormwater.
I just didn't know if it was a part of the best practices for having a stormwater plan
that's,
with the
that's
state.
Correct, yeah. And,
okay.
And that letter will go out probably every year.
Oh, yeah, I figure it would as it's going ongoing. And last, sorry, is the page 4-4 bike paths. And knowing that you know a little bit about the Safe Routes to Schools grant because of your Atascadero experience, could you explain how the city's involved with this along with Del Mar, or do you know?
The Safe Routes to School grant program, we're applying for the federal program, so it's 100% funded, should we be successful, no match required. And it requires that the city or county be the applying agent, the responsible agency, because we'll be the ones to carry out, oversee the construction and carry out the maintenance over the life. We have to agree to basically maintain what the feds are going to hopefully fund us to install. So the city is the applying agency. We worked with Del Mar School and some other stakeholders, such as the Methodist Church there. They provided a support letter, and several other organizations also provided support letters. The grant ended up being somewhere around $900,000 to install sidewalks on both sides of Greenwood from Avalon to Sequoia. That's the scope of the project. There will probably be some incidentals that will go along with that with installing sidewalk. We'll have to modify some driveways to make it work. Some curb and gutter will also need to be installed. We'll try to stretch those federal dollars as far as we can in doing kind of other things that are necessary too. Pave out on Greenwood. We'll extend the pave out as wide as we possibly can, and then probably come through with a city project to get the middle of the street, things like that.
Okay. No, looking at that, I was wondering, is there a reason that you're thinking of sidewalks and sidewalks with a high rise, or just in terms of the traffic on Greenwood goes pretty fast sometimes, and sidewalks might just kind of give them carte blanche to go, a little bit faster?
Well, we need to consider, the street is for all users, and it's very difficult to make a asphalt street accommodate all users because of the cross slope involved in the street. Sidewalks are probably a more appropriate location for pedestrians to be rather than out in the street. As we get further along with this project, there will be some other features that we'll look at and have some community input into, such as bulb outs along there for some friction, basically, to hopefully, slow people down. I think that's probably the extent of our traffic calming infrastructure that we would propose. And then there'll be an educational component that will go along with it. It's the three E's that are required for Safe Routes to Schools: engineering, education, and enforcement. So along with that, our friends in uniform, once we get this built, will be out there helping us with the 30, the enforcement section. So there will be probably a presence, so a radar trailer out 1 week, and then probably tickets the next.
Okay, well, you've given me hope there by saying that it's not done yet, because I know there's going to be all sorts of little issues along this route.
Right.
Because, there's a number of through streets, Avalon, Atlanta, San Joaquin, that are problematic. That's going to make that a hard thing to finally complete.
Right. While we're on this topic, I want to highlight that we're also having a public meeting at the end of this month, August 30th, from 7 to 8:30 in this building, to take public input on our first ever bike and pedestrian plan. We're hoping to get a good turnout. I know that we worked with various stakeholders to get information out to the community. We have a great consultant who I noticed I only put this consultant name, Johnny B. Green, there, not his actual name. But John is helping us do that work, and his last name is flown for. It's not Green. That's the name of his company, and he's had successful bike plans in other areas that has helped them be successful in competing for bicycle transportation grant money.
You know, that's a great end to new business, and that is the consideration of the Estero Bay Transit Service proposal. And Janine, here you go.
Thank you and good evening. As you mentioned tonight, you have for this item consideration of the Estero Bay Transit Service proposal. And I just wanted to give a little background because this has been going on for a little while. In 2009, the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments Board had directed their staff to develop a transit efficiencies committee that would look at transit services within the county to see if there were areas of coordination or consolidation that could be achieved that would save funding and more effectively use transit funds within the county of San Luis Obispo. At the time, the committee was broken down into kind of sub-regions by area, the North Coast, the North County, South County, and San Luis Obispo, because not everybody is going to have the same issues or concerns that need to be addressed. So for the last 2 years, we've been meeting off and on with the Council of Governments, with RTA staff, and our former mayor, Janice Peters, to look at or talk about what are the needs, what are the issues for Morro Bay and Los Osos area, and come up with some sort of plan for transit service that could be acceptable and beneficial to both communities. And the original proposal that came about and was developed by the Council of Governments had some deficiencies relating to the fixed route and demand response door-to-door side. And so we had some follow-up meetings to try to discuss could these deficiencies be addressed so that we would have a concept to bring forward, or could they not, and we would still bring the concept forward for consideration by the council. After a couple of meetings, what we got from we got a new proposal with a new concept from the Council of Governments, which is the one that you have for consideration tonight. And what we were told at that meeting was that this is kind of the best that we could put together for the funding available to the region, the North Coast region. So with that, I'm going to kind of outline a little bit what the proposed concept is, and that's right now listed in Attachment 2. There's some verbal content there. It's basically the proposal is to develop a cooperative agreement between the City of Morro Bay, the County of San Luis Obispo for the Los Osos area, the Regional Transit Authority, RTA, and the Council of Governments. And what this cooperative agreement would do would be to establish two committees, the first being a policy committee that is made up of policymakers, so members from the council, the LOCAC board, and from the RTA, who would take a look at where they would adopt the service plan that would be implemented each year and the budget. And they would also resolve any issues between the technical advisory committee. The technical advisory committee is the second group that would be formed, and that would be made up of staff members from Morro Bay, from either the county or LOCAC, and RTA, and the Council of Governments. And their function would be to reach consensus on the service coverage for the area, to ensure the satisfactory implementation of the adopted service plan, to review the annual service plan if there was changes that need to be made to it, to review the annual budget, and explore any adjustments that would need to be made to roles and responsibilities for any of the agencies involved. The other thing, as far as on the service concept end, what would be established would be a fixed route service that would provide connections between and to Morro Bay and Los Osos. And then on the demand response side, there wasn't a local demand response component. It's basically relying on existing services of Runabout and the North Coast Shuttle that's operated by Ride on Transit, but with some additional funding included in the budget to add two service days to the North Coast senior shuttle. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the fixed route first, and then I'll talk a little bit about the demand response part of it. For the fixed route in attachment 3, that attachment outlines the timetable for the fixed route connector. They're calling it a Stero Bay connector. And it would run 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. The first run of the day would be a pickup in a Los Osos at 7:26 in the morning. And the last drop-off in Morro Bay for the day would be 6:53 in the evening. Service in Los Osos would include a morning and afternoon trip that would transport Morro Bay to continue with the regular hourly and then every other hour service in the other two areas. There are some benefits to the proposal. There is improved connections. The RTA recently, within the past week and a half, almost 2 weeks now, has made some pretty big changes to the North Coast routes. The routes that comes from San Luis Obispo to Morro Bay, the route that continues on from Morro Bay north up to San Simeon, Cambria area, and the route that goes from Morro Bay to Los Osos. And so those three routes right now all pulse at or meet at City Park at the same time within a minute or two of each other on the hour. So those connections have been improved. The connection to the current Morro Bay Transit, when that service started over a year ago, we were pretty close with mirroring connection times to RTA. There were a couple that you had some longer waits, like 20 minutes. With the changes that RTA has made recently, we now have a half an hour wait for riders who get dropped off at City Park, so that's a little bit lengthy. And once RTA kind of settles down with their schedule, they're going to take a look at it with 90 days and see if there's some modifications that need to be made. Once that's set, then we would be looking at adjusting our fixed route schedule to make better connection times than the 30-minute right now for the drop-off at half hour after the park. For Los Osos High School students who don't use the school district's bus service, they would have a direct connection to the high school in the morning and in the afternoon. And then there would be early evening hours. Right now, the current Morro Bay Transit service ends at 5:30, and this service is proposed to go until about 7 o'clock in the evening. So this would allow for commuters coming back from San Luis Obispo to be able to make that evening trip, whereas right now, they are able to come into Morro Bay, but then our service has already ended, and the last run to the north end of the communities in the 4 o'clock hour. So that would be a slight improvement there. As far as some of the deficiencies, with the start time geared towards picking up Los Osos students and taking them to the high school in the morning, the first Morro Bay pickup is going to be almost 8 o'clock at 7:57. Our current service starts at 6:30, so those individuals who currently use the service to get to the either to the City Park for the RTA stop at 7:17 or to come to work locally here in Morro Bay or to get to school would not have that capability anymore because the hours basically, they took the hour and a half in the morning and put it on the evening time. So those individuals wouldn't have access to that service.
Janine, can I interrupt?
Sure.
So has the conversation, I have no doubt it's come up, but so they're going to lose a lot of riders to Cuesta in the morning then, correct?
Potentially. I don't know the ridership figures for how many people are picked up and brought there. I do know with a conversation that I had with Susan recently, she talked with one of the drivers about who's getting picked up in the morning, and she noted that there were some extra people that have been starting to ride. So you would have those individuals would have issues and having to find another way to get to City Park, or if they live in the north end, to the either the stop at, and probably be the one on the highway at San Jacinto. That'd be the first stop coming back down from the north. And as I mentioned earlier, the fixed route schedule is focused on transporting the Los Osos students from Los Osos to the high school directly. And because of that, the first run into Morro Bay starting at 8 o'clock, Morro Bay students would not be able to get access to the high school like they do now, because they would be an hour late to school at that point. So that was another issue. Similarly, in the afternoon when school gets out, the bus is going straight to Los Osos before coming back into Morro Bay and starting the regular route all over again. So if there was a high school student from Morro Bay wanting to take the bus home, they would have to ride for almost an hour before getting back into the north end at Morro Bay. It would be 45 minutes to get to City Park, and then if they lived in the north end, it would be longer than that. So that's a lengthy period of time for the rider.
So basically, you could walk it quicker from Morro Bay High School.
You might. Or in 3, what you see is that North Morro Bay would get every hour service, and then it would go to City Park, and then it would alternate between each hour going to the south part of Morro Bay or go to Los Osos and do the Los Osos loop and then come back and then go to the north. So this would be a reduction in service from what is currently provided, which is hourly. So those riders in the south would see a reduction in service by 50% because it'd be cut to every hour from hourly. I already mentioned the 3 o'clock hour for the high school students. The fares, the regular and discount fares for the fixed route, we have more than 40% who pay cash fares, and so the fare would be a little bit higher. I think if you were looking, it's a zone charge, so just looking at Morro Bay to Morro Bay or Morro Bay to Los Osos, which is the same, it's about a quarter higher than the current service. With that, I'm going to pause for a moment if you had any other questions about the fixed route side before I talk about the demand response side.
Only thing I wanted to bring up at this point, and I have concern when I hear this in transit, is the fact that it talked of the warrants weren't there to provide for every hour service for South Morro Bay. So if you go to 2 hours, you're going to find out you have even less ridership because people, if it's inconvenient, they're not going to ride it. And the problem with transit service in general, it's never been a moneymaker for any city. But you're providing it for social reasons. I mean, there are the people who have to ride and don't have another choice, especially seniors. You do have the ones that's for cost only, and that's their purpose. But, going to a two-hour trip, it almost seems to me you might as well just negate that portion of the and save your money because you're not going to find people wishing to wait for that kind of time. Mm-hmm. On that fixed route system. And that is my take, and for what it's worth, department on that portion.
And something that was, I think I mentioned in the staff report, was for that particular loop in the south end, there are current riders who have been expressing to drivers that if we had increased service, if we actually had half an hour headways, they would be using it more because they have that need. Funding
that's
is the
issue.
That's
been my experience, Janine, quite frankly, in other areas. That when it's a convenient factor, people use it. When it isn't, they don't. And that's kind of where I see this whole thing heading, reading through your staff report. Not only that, what Ron brought up about using it to go to work in San Luis Obispo, all of a sudden it becomes a non-option. Or if they're driving their car over to City Park, then you don't have the parking facilities on street parking for people that would be using it because they're going to sit there for 8 to 10 hours until they get off work and come back to get their cars. I don't know why. I have problems with this thing from start to finish a little bit. One thing I do want to ask real quick, does Morro Bay have a choice in this matter since it is a regional transit authority going on with all this, or you just make your recommendations and see where it goes?
Well, what the city, we receive funding from the state, Transportation Development Act funds, local transit funds, and state transit assistance funds. And that's allocated to the city, and we can determine how we use those dollars for transit, streets, pedestrian projects, bicycle projects. The funding is usually, it has to go to transit first, and if all of your unmet transit needs are met and you have leftover funds, then streets, then bike paths and pedestrian projects it can be used for. So the city does have a say in how the funds are used. And currently the city provides local service, the Morro Bay Transit fixed route and call ride. This proposal is looking at taking funding that the city receives, funding that the county receives, that it would put towards service for Los Osos, and trying to come up with a concept that would be beneficial to both communities in providing transit service while saving transit dollars. So the city does have a say in whether we do this, whether we continue to do our existing services, whether we do something else completely.
The thing I wanted to bring up to staff, I had sent an email to Janine earlier because I know some of you didn't get an opportunity to look at the animation graphic. And the thing that jumped out at me basically was they're showing a morning cycle, and the town of Los Osos gets cycled 5 times to the 1 time in South Morro Bay. So all of a sudden you say to yourself, it does appear to cover Los Osos quite well, I must admit. I sit there and see a situation where you're trying to commingle funds with the county, you know, the regional area as well as the city, and I can appreciate that. Oftentimes there is a value in numbers. But I also see transit as something you provide for your people.
Alternates between going to the south part of Morro Bay and going to that connection point at Los Osos. So it's not that those 5 trips get, you know, augmented and for each hour thereafter. It's just that morning hour and then in the afternoon for the afternoon trip to from the high school at the 3 o'clock hour.
I realize the logic works it out the way it came out. The other question I did have real quick was on the kids riding the school bus versus the public transportation in this vein. Is there a reason why they would choose to ride the public transportation over the school bus, so to speak? I mean, is there a benefit there in any way, shape, or form that our regional transit authorities trying to accommodate that over some of the other members of the community?
That I don't know. I do know that the school bus service, you do have to pay for that. Based on, you know, if you have 1 kid or 2 kids, what that cost is and whether it would be less if you bought transit passes and used transit, or it would be the same or more, that I do not know. And I don't know if there's, you know, usually there's unmet transit needs that go before the Slow Cog Board each year to hear from the residents in the county, are there any transit needs that aren't being met that goes through a process to determine whether or not there is an unmet need, is it found reasonable to meet, and trying to come up with something that we could start. School trips from Los Osos to Morro Bay haven't come up there, but there may be separate phone calls. I know we've had them over the years when we used to have the dial-a-ride service, asking for actually kind of going both ways, getting Los Osos kids to the high school and getting Morro Bay kids to the middle school in Los Osos. And there's no, you know, other than the school bus, there was nothing else connecting that.
Okay. And I noticed in your staff report you discuss a savings of like $4,000. I think Peter Rogers somewhat contested that and saying that it was more like $40,000, but I hate to say whether it's $4,000 or $40,000, it's kind of like wasting money a little bit if you're dropping your service by half to two-thirds of your community for that purpose, because the overall cost of this transit association, how much funding it requires, whether it comes from the city or the taxpayer at large, I don't know why it doesn't make sense to me to follow the path I see it following right now. And I must admit, I'm coming in fairly new to this. I knew really as little about your transit system here prior to actually reading through what you sent us. But I do have grave concerns about that. And I'm not sure the money savings is going to make up for the loss in service, because what you're going to find is less people will be riding it when you go to 2 hours. And then I'll warrant it to do it for 4 hours, and then why are you even doing this? And that's what concerns me.
And I will speak to the fiscal portion of it in a moment, but I want to go now, unless there's any other questions on the fixed route side, kind of talk. No, that's okay. Talk about the demand response component to this, and then I'll talk about the fiscal aspect. So are there any other questions on the fixed route side?
Well, yes, I guess I do. So what I hear what you're saying with Morro Bay Transit, with the SLOCOG, and you guys are willing, it sounds like you're really looking at their schedule and going, well, how can we meet it and whatnot? And then reading through Roger's letter real quick, he says it's not a done deal yet. So does this mean that you're feeling that you can go back and express more needs that Morro Bay has and see if those can be met? Or do you feel what they're offering is cut in stone?
Well, what we were told at the last meeting, that the city manager, the public service director, and I, and members from RTA and SLOCOG were at, was that this was the best proposal that they were putting forward, and they wanted to move forward with this. If the Council of Governments is now saying that this isn't the final, we can look at this some more, and try to address some of the issues that have come up with this, I think the city would be more than willing to. We've been doing that for the past 2 years. You know, ultimately, what staff would be looking at is whatever concept comes forward, whether it be a locally operated one, whether it be a regionally operated one, we would be looking at the service and is it going to be beneficial to better than what is existing. And that's kind of going to be sort of that with the fiscal is going to be the bottom line. So if COG wants to continue moving forward, looking at this, refining it, I don't think the city...
Bus service, so people can have something not waiting so long, because it would be terrible if someone got stuck in San Luis and couldn't get back, especially if they're a senior.
Mm-hmm. There, in addition to the fixed route for seniors, there are other transit options. The demand response, the paratransit components, if, and I'm going to talk about this in a little bit and maybe get to that right now. The Ride-On Transportation operates a North Coast senior shuttle. Right now it runs 2 days a week, Mondays and Wednesdays, and it's from Cambria to San Luis Obispo. And it's limited in the sense that you have a larger pool of riders with which who are competing, if you're 65 or older, for limited numbers of seats because there's one vehicle that's operating. And they do limit your usage per month to 4 trips per month. So we do have some riders who ride every day, 5 days a week. Sometimes they ride a couple of times a day for several days in the week. So that's one option, but it may not work for everyone. Runabout is the other service that is existing. That's the Americans with Disabilities Act. It's the ADA mandated complementary paratransit to all fixed route services, and RTA is the provider of that for all of the fixed route services operated in the county. And it's you have to qualify, so there's ADA has set criteria, and you have to fit one of the criteria or all of the criteria in order to be eligible to have a guaranteed ride. And maybe I'll just go into the, you know, a little bit about Runabout and then a little bit about Ride-On and what is being proposed, and then we can talk a little bit further about the demand response part and how hard or, you know, how someone goes about trying to figure out what transit services are available, what can I use, and how do I get to and from San Luis Obispo from anywhere outside of there. As I mentioned, Runabout is operated by RTA. They are the ADA provider for all the fixed routes. So what that means is if you fit the criteria set by ADA, you would get eligible and certified by RTA, and oftentimes what that requires is a visit to your doctor, because your doctor has to certify which disability it is that you have that is preventing you from using the fixed route services. And so sometimes that can create a barrier because it's hard to get to the doctor's appointment. It costs money to get to the doctor, and sometimes doctors charge to fill out the form for you. It can be a barrier, but if you do get certified, what you have is the ability for a guaranteed ride. So if you live within 3/4 of a mile of the fixed route service, you would call up to 7 days in advance to schedule your ride, and it's guaranteed. Now, the runabout service also serves the general public, but it's not a guaranteed ride. So what could happen is you would call, if a general public member called up, scheduled a ride to your doctor, to your hair appointment, wherever, you wouldn't really know up until the day before if somebody who is ADA eligible and certified could bump you. So there would be this kind of question in the back of your mind, okay, I've got my ride scheduled, but I don't know that it's really going to happen until the night before, and then you'd realize, okay, I didn't get bumped, so it's going to happen. So that can create some anxiety with members of the general public using that service, because there is an uncertainty that your ride, you're going to have it or not. I don't know the numbers of bumped general public riders from RTA, whether that happens fairly frequently or not, whether there's enough capacity that doesn't happen, but it is a potential. So from the senior shuttle, I kind of bounce back. Ride on Transportation operates the North Coast Senior Shuttle. I mentioned it currently provides service 2 days a week, Mondays and Wednesdays. They do limit the number of trips to 4 within a month. And the proposal from the Council of Governments is to add funding into the budget that would add 2 additional operating days, so on Tuesday and Thursday. And those would be only available to those people in Morro Bay and Los Osos. And as far as I'm given to understand, there would be no restrictions on the number of times in a month you could use that service. So some of the benefits, South Bay Dial-A-Ride service was stopped a couple of weeks ago. There was funding or budget issues, and then the restructuring with the North Coast routes from RTA. So having those 2 additional senior shuttle days, having them be dedicated to Los Osos and Morro Bay, not having that restriction, call-a-ride service, simply because of how the nature of how the call-a-ride and the fixed route for Morro Bay Transit work. Another benefit is that, like I said, Morro Bay residents who are eligible and get certified for runabout would have the service if they live within that 3/4 of a mile of a fixed route. Where did my last page go? Sorry about that. So some of the deficiencies for the demand response side, one I mentioned as far as getting certified for runabout, there's the potential for a barrier if you have to go to your doctor. That can create some issues for getting certified. As I mentioned, the runabout ride for the general public is not guaranteed, so there is the potential for having your ride that you've scheduled bumped by someone who is ADA certified to for a guaranteed ride. On the senior shuttle, as I mentioned earlier, there's a larger, because the Monday-Wednesday service is going from anywhere from Cambria to San Luis Obispo, there's a larger pool of potential users for that service that you would be competing, a senior would be competing with to schedule a ride. So that may be an issue. Similarly with the Tuesday-Thursday, although it's a smaller pool, but right now the pool is just Morro Bay for a call-a-ride trip. The Tuesday-Thursday North Coast shuttle, senior shuttle would be Los Osos and Morro Bay, so the pool's expanding a little bit, and then the Monday-Wednesday expands even further. As I mentioned previously, for the Monday-Wednesday, the senior shuttle, you're limited to 4 trips. The senior's limited to 4 trips in the month. We do have riders, as I mentioned, who use the service more frequently than that. So if they were a senior, 65 or older, and rode the service, our service for 2 times a week, three times a week, several times in a day. That may create issues if they can't, either with the Tuesday, Thursday trips, where they have more flexibility, or if they don't qualify for runabout. That starts to limit their capability of getting out of the house with that service. For the North Coast Senior Shuttle, expanding the services to 4 days would be a reduction by 1 day. We currently run service from Monday through Friday. So if you only qualified to use the Senior Shuttle and you didn't qualify for runabout, you would have one less day of service that could be used. So that's another issue. Going back to runabout, as I mentioned before, this is, if you become eligible, or if you're the general public, it's for if you live within 3/4 of a mile from the route. So there is, because there are different fixed routes, so you have the Estero Bay Connector, which runs in a certain location on certain days in the week and hours in the week, and you have Route 12, Route 11, and Route 15 going north that run different days. You could run into a situation where somebody on a Saturday who lives in the south end down by Kern and Main Street would not be able to use runabout because they live more than 3/4 of a mile. They might live more than 3/4 of a mile away from the city park where Route 11 comes in. But somebody up at Errol in Maine, because they live within that 3/4 of a mile, they would be able to use the service on a Saturday. So now you have certain members of the community, depending on where you live, on certain days in the week, you might not be able to access the runabout service. So that can create some confusion with people trying to figure out, do I qualify for the service, and then when can I access the service? Right now, service is Monday through Friday. It's a set time, and it's pretty much the whole of Morro Bay, with the exception of the mortuary down on Quintana and the Blue Heron Trailer Park and into the state park. But pretty much everywhere else in the city is covered. So in addition, for both runabout and the senior shuttle, the fares are higher than the current Coloride trip fares. And I know the services are a little bit different, but bottom line is the passenger is going to be looking at, right now I get a trip for $2.50. If I qualify for runabout and use it, it's $3. It's double the fixed route fare. So depending on where you're going, it could be, if you're doing a Morro Bay to Morro Bay trip, it could be $3. If you're going into San Luis, it would be more. But I was just looking, when I was noting this in the staff report, I was just looking at a Morro. So what the Council of Governments did is to figure out how much funding should come from the city of Morro Bay, how much funding should come from the county. They looked at the percentage of the number of service hours in each area, came up with a percentage, and then applied that to the budget. So the budget less fares, applying that percentage, the city's share would be a little over $162,000 for the first year. And that is just the operating cost. That doesn't include the city's overhead for additional activities that city employees do on behalf of transit. And currently, we have about $109,000 of overhead from the city. And so what's noted in the staff report is that there's certain tasks like maintenance that would now, under the proposal, would be handled by RTA. So that's a cost overhead component that's pulled out. You wouldn't have a local transit office anymore, so the building facilities maintenance component would get pulled out. And then you have various other staff, from council to myself to the city attorney, the public services director, the city manager, accounting, treasury, that would be reduced as well, because based on the proposal and the establishment of the policy committee and the technical committee, there would still be some activities transit-related that city employees would be participating in for this. And so in the staff report, the $41,000 that is talked about is a rough revision from the current 108,000 for overhead. And so when you look at the operating cost plus the city overhead and then compare that with the amount of Transportation Development Act funds the city is anticipated to receive, that's where we get that $4,000 cost savings. I know in the letter that you received from Mr. Rogers, he didn't seem to think, he was noting that things like the maintenance, the fueling, dispatching, marketing are all things that shouldn't be counted in overhead, and felt that the number would be lower than that, the 41. But the 41's already taken those particular items out, and some of them, like fueling or marketing, aren't part of the overhead. They were part of the actual operating budget. So, but as far as overhead, all of those issues have and factors have already been removed to get that revised number.
Can I ask a question, Jane?
Sure.
Do you still feel comfortable with your numbers in light of the email that came from Peter Rogers?
Yes, I do. But as noted in the staff report, that it's a rough number, and that if the council were to move forward with this, and the actual number would have to be developed by the finance department, taking a look at, okay, and what exactly are the activities that would be related, and how it's calculated for that number. So, you know, a council time, what is that based off of, and do they have to come up with a new basis for what that cost would
be.
But
you feel you took into account the concerns that Peter had brought up, is that correct?
Yes, the ones that were listed in the letter, those had already been removed from the 108, or they weren't, like, you know, as I mentioned, marketing is part of the operating budget, so those dollars are already out. And the staff time associated with developing them or putting out the brochure, you know, creating brochures, putting them out, rider alerts, that kind of thing, that had already been taken out. So basically, given the amount of cost savings, given the deficiencies where you have some reductions in service for certain parts of the community, for certain individuals, depending on whether they qualify for runabout or the North Coast shuttle if you're a senior. Staff can't basically recommend the proposal as it currently is. So one of the issues or one of the comments that has been expressed by council in a couple of meetings is wanting more Dial-A-Ride service. They want Dial-A-Ride back. So having some type of demand response door-to-door service for seniors, for the disabled members in the community is something that they feel very strongly about. And to have a proposal come forward that a lot of its existing services, some of it is, you know, as I mentioned, a little bit transit service concept as proposed does not serve the best interests of the Morro Bay residents, and to not pursue the implementation of it. And with that, I'll turn it back over to the board for any questions or comments, and opening up for public comment.
Do we have any questions for Janine? Richard?
I do. Basically, do you want us to make a deal saying that, or a thing to the city council saying that we do not feel this serves our needs?
The recommendation is that the concept that's been proposed does not serve the best interests of the Morro Bay residents, and to not pursue implementation of it. So basically, at that point, it would be then to continue operations of Morro Bay Transit, looking for ways to improve the efficiency, to improve the cost effectiveness of it, and to get more riders to use it.
Ron, any other questions?
Thank you for your presentation.
Bill, got any questions?
I'll have a comment later, but I don't have any questions.
Steve?
Yeah, I think mine's more of a comment than a question at this point.
Okay. And so before we take a vote, I would like to ask this question, Janine. Whatever we decide on giving your recommendation, it seems to me you're willing to I don't know if we do we have a public comment?
Yes.
Okay. Could you step up to the microphone?
Sure. Good evening, Chairman Matawiski and board members. I'm Pete Rogers on SLOCOG staff, and with me is Eliane Guillot, and she's a Morro Bay resident and been on our staff for a while. And I'm here in the unenviable position to, offer an alternative to the recommendation that you're considering. I work closely with Janine. We've known each other for a number of years, and we've been working on this project for a long time. I just wanted to ask first, am I held to 3 minutes here? I mean, I'm not going to go on a long time or anything. But
no, you if you
okay.
less than an hour, I bet. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, great. I think that, as I mentioned, this is sort of an unenviable position because it's a lot of change, and change is hard. But I think one of the questions here, and it really ties back to your water billing and what, this is really moving forward. We're in a time of shrinking resources and increasing costs. And our board has asked us to look at the small transit systems in the county. We have 7 different transit systems in this county. And what this opportunity does, it provides you an opportunity to leverage the money that you're already spending on RTA. You get an allotment of TDA money to spend on transit, on regional transit and on local transit. Right off the top, you're giving $100,000 a year to RTA to be transit professionals, to have drivers trained, to do operations planning, to do marketing, to do service plans. And what we're saying is that there's a better way to do this than to have all these separate systems throughout the county. With all these systems, as you've just discussed, transit is complex. There's a lot of details. It's very detail-oriented. I mean, people want to go from point A to point B, and there's a billion people that are A out there with all these different needs. With all these different systems, we have planning and admin costs. We have operational costs. We have maintenance and capital costs. So we have all these different fares and all these different passes and all these different policies. And for all these different systems, there's studies and there's audits that are required by law. On the operations side, we have 7 different people doing marketing. We have 7 different people doing dispatching out there and driver training and keeping track of when their drivers have to move up the next peg. With all of these separate systems, there's redundancy and there's opportunities for some streamlining. I sent this letter to you yesterday, perhaps the day before, and it really talks about a different kind of a service model. And it talks about getting into an agreement with RTA to just have them provide the service for you. And we've outlined some cost savings and some elimination of duplication that occurs. I am surprised that the overhead is higher than what we had talked about, the overhead being $41,000. And one of the things about this proposal is the turnkey proposal. Your staff would be included on the technical committee, and your board members would be included on the policy committee to decide how this service is run. So if this particular service plan is not perfect, it can be tweaked and it can be modified. So if you don't want to do this now, we may be back in a year, we may be back in 2 years, we may be back in 5 years talking about how we can better integrate services. One thing that has been mentioned is that our board has adopted a regional strategy that evaluates the local transit systems and the degree to which they are integrated with RTA, they get a final incentive. There's a carrot and stick approach. Right now, there's about $4,500 that's lying out there because Morro Bay, I don't know where you were on the system, you're 60% integrated with RTA, because Janine does. She coordinates great with ride sharing and schedule planning and coordination. But there's another 40% that's represented by $4,500 that would be available if they take further steps towards integration. And we also think that this proposal and this structure would be better for the customer. The customer wants, just knows they want to go to point A to point B. They don't care who provides the service. They don't care if it's Morro Bay Transit or whether it's Route 12 or Route 14. They want one number. They want one service. And with multiple providers and multiple schedules, it hurts the reliability. It hurts ridership. Janine mentioned the sub-regional board that would be the decision-making body. And then I also mentioned in my letter about this not really being the final proposal. It was really more of a demonstration of us getting frustrated with not moving forward after 2 years. You know, we've been working on this for 2 years. This is the first time I've come before your board on this. In terms of the service details, I agree, the devil's in the details. Not having an hourly loop in the south part of Morro Bay, if that's a problem, we can see where we can tweak the service plan to get that to work. But our focus here on this service plan was trying to get some connections where Route 12 dropped connections to Los Osos. So we wanted to fill that gap to provide the Quest to students that hourly link to Morro Bay, to downtown Morro Bay Park. And also because our first service plan, which was considered deficient, didn't have hourly service in North Morro Bay, so that was a high priority. So those two legs of this three-tiered route were the highest priority. Something had to give. And because the downtown area seemed like it was the closest for people to walk and it was a much shorter loop, it was easier to eliminate that part of it. You know, the other problem, the other elephant in the room is that this service is not doing great. You know, you have 5 riders per hour. You have a fare box ratio of 5%. So when you spend $100, you're making $5. Our board is required to charge you money, the difference between 10% and 5%. So we're going to be charging you $5. We're going to be discounting the money we give you by that difference in the fare. That's state law. If you were to move forward on this, you know, how does this integration work? You know, the drivers and the current contractor, the door is open for them at RTA. If you wanted to take, there is a process for preferential treatment to those employees to become RTA employees, and subject to some seniority issues, even same drivers on the same route, you know, and the marketing of the vehicle, that could also say Estero Transit or Morro Bay, Los Osos Transit. It's all subject to the technical committee and the policy committee. You know, the alternative recommendation that I'd like to suggest to you is that you request your staff and SLOCOG staff to, you know, take another step and prepare a draft MOU that would specify all these issues associated with a transfer to do a service agreement through RTA, and that that would be next meeting, perhaps in 2 months, and then also in 2 months you would schedule initiating a 6-month termination clause, of whether or not you wanted to kick in that clause or not, and give us 6 months to work these out. You can make that decision in 2 months after we come back with a revised service plan and with as we work on some of the details you talked about today. I guess, you know, finally, in closing, I would say that, you know, a lot of the discussion has been on runabout. As far as I can tell, the changes to runabout are zero. The exact same runabout that you have today is what you'd have as we move forward. And so with that, I'll open it up to any questions to me. I have to reiterate, Chairman, that Aileon is my crack transit staff, so if there's some detailed questions about some of the transit locations or timing or trips.
You're going to be looking to the city of Morro Bay to make up the difference to hold the same level of service you're proposing today.
Well, the funding required will be subject to the service plan and the hours of operation that's developed annually and reviewed by the technical committee. So,
okay. So basically, it could go up and city
It could go up. It could go down. I think that From our perspective,
I didn't hear down because you're basically saying Morro Bay is going to be losing some of those funds as a result of their stable population. So the only way I see it is Morro Bay is probably going to have to kick in more money as a city to try to hold, maintain the same level of service.
Right, and as I mentioned, there is this carrot and stick program that the SLOCOG board has adopted and put money aside for sub-regional agencies that are moving towards integration. There's additional state transit assistance funds to help backfill.
The other thing I want to bring up is more of a comment than a question, and that's a simple fact. The New York subway system works because if you miss a subway, 10 minutes later, there's another subway there to hop onto to go. And I can appreciate warrants. I'm a civil engineer. I deal with these kind of things every day when you're figuring cost-benefit. And the fact of the matter is, though, you start cutting it down in, say, the downtown area of Morro Bay to 2 hours, ridership's going to go down. It's not going to go up. It's only going to get worse. And it becomes a death spiral to the point of, why are we even providing this service? You might as well just go catch the bus at City Park and be done with it if you're going to move in that direction. And that's one of the problems I really have, Peter. I think Janine did bring up quite a few good, when you said, well, why don't you come back and tell us what you want, I think she kind of espoused most of the concerns I think this community has. So in either case, I'll turn it over to the rest of you.
Do we have any other comments? No. Peter, I had a comment. Because the way it stands right now, I mean, I Janine made good points, and you've made some points also. But I'm really concerned about the change of schedules. I mean, just having talked to people and having used the transit system myself, if we lose that early morning bus, you know, the 7 o'clock bus going to San Luis because of having to change it, that would, just speaking selfishly, that would really affect me. And so I don't have to do that anymore. But hold on a second. Knowing that you're saying, well, all these things are on the table, because the way it stands right now, I don't think it makes much sense. I wouldn't agree that it makes much sense to really change that schedule so drastically. However, I would like to add, I don't know how we go into this in the future in terms of, all right, you're saying, well, we could meet in the future and say, what are your needs? What would you like to change, not change? More so, okay, I can see that happening, but the way it goes right now, I mean, how do you see us, you know, what would that look like, those future meetings?
Well, the future meetings would look at looking at the deficiencies that Janine has identified in this staff report as specific and as priorities. That, hey, can we meet those deficiencies? Essentially, with a one bus service, you can't be two places at once, mm-hmm. of course. And with any schedule planning, what master are you going to serve? You know, in this service plan, we decided, hey, let's get that high school commute, get across from Estero Bay to Morro Bay High School. And does that come at a cost to serving North Morro Bay to feed into Route 12? In my understanding today, I didn't think that Morro Bay Transit serves to make the 7 o'clock bus at City Park. So you're not losing anything. In fact, you are gaining, because this service lasts longer. This service goes till 6:30 in the evening. When people come in from San Luis at either 5 p.m. or 6 p.m., they're able to get that northern loop to North Morro Bay.
Well, I was thinking, maybe I read the schedule wrong, thinking there's a number of people that pick up the bus on the highway at right around 7 o'clock right there at San Jacinto and Highway 1.
There is currently, with the new schedule change, that would not be affected. There's a North Coast from Cambria that comes through and would be able to pick up people at that spot.
So those people then would get to City Park and they would just have to wait longer.
No, they would be, it's timed at hourly headways, so they would be able to get down to downtown City Park. I think the first, is it 8 o'clock or is it 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, there's no other further comments. So, Jenny?
Well, and I was just going to make a comment on the San Jacinto stop. That's, you know, relative to those who live somewhat close to or near to cross the highway, someone living up
you know, in the Greenwood area, it might be a little too far. So it serves some, doesn't serve all. So that needs to be changed. And it didn't happen for this budget, but it's going to be in the next budget. We're also looking at having to assess the existing ridership per hour, see are there unproductive hours that could be cut that help to reduce expenditures, as well as restructuring the fare system, which may include fare increase for the fixed route. It may include looking at decreasing the caller ride, a recommendation to decrease the caller ride trip based on some feedback that we've had from riders. So those are some things that we will be needing to look at in the near future to move forward with to address issues of not meeting the fare box ratio that's required by the state, and what do we need to do to move forward to get us closer to and to actually achieving that.
And what's your time frame for that?
I'm thinking with bringing something probably to the council within the next month to 2 months, or probably month and a half.
So do you foresee, just like this change in the schedule, the 717 bus going on and looking at slow cog and kind of seeing what, and then aligning it with what Morro Bay Transit, what we wanted to do? Is that what you're saying then?
Yes. The changes that the RTA have done to the fixed routes on the North Coast just started on August 8th. So it's what I'm hearing from RTA staff is that what we're hearing from the riders that are being told by RTA staff is that they're going to assess the service in 90 days to see if some tweaks need to be made. And in an email from a member of RTA staff, they might actually have a modification that they may implement pretty soon. So we just want to make sure that before we look at and modify and advertise to the passengers, we're making this change to the service schedule. And then RTA, a month or 2 months down the road, changes their service schedule again. We want to make sure that their schedule is pretty fixed because they have a lot of moving pieces and a lot more passengers. And so we want to make sure that that's set before we look at our service and trying to match and make better connections to it.
Okay, and that makes sense. Now, Mr. Rogers, could you comment on that? And when will you guys be finalizing that schedule?
I'm aware that RTA has said they're going to look at minor tweaks to their schedule. The hourly buses, the three buses that meet at downtown Morro Bay Park, that's not going to change. On the hour, I mean, it's superb service what RTA has done, 16 round trips into San Luis Obispo on an hourly schedule with connections even through the back way into San Luis Obispo. So I agree, you know, if Morro Bay Transit Service should be doing some changes to make sure they meet that hourly headway at the park, notwithstanding any of this. And you know, but in the short term, you should be doing that.
All right. So are there any – Ron, you have a comment?
Yeah. If I'm hearing correctly, wouldn't it be best for us to look at this in 2 months and make a recommendation rather than doing it tonight based on the fact that – You're tweaking. I think it'd be better for us to just postpone this and vote on it with our recommendation at our next meeting 2 months from now.
Okay, we could, because the recommendation is to not accept this. But would you guys come back in?
I'd be happy to come back. Yeah.
Okay, and would that be enough time, Janine, the next meeting, or we'd need one more meeting after that to get all this?
Well, your next board meeting is not until October. I guess it would depend. We'd have to schedule meetings with the COG. We'd have to see what kind of changes to the proposed concept that could be made within the constraints of the funding that are available, or if they can't. And then come back with that. I mean, that's something that's possible.
Is 2 months too little time? I guess I should ask you, Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Chair, before you get too far involved in discussion on what you're going to do tonight. You did open it up to the public. Maybe we would want to hear from, see if there's anybody else that would like to speak on this item.
The voice of reason. All right. I'm sorry to keep you waiting so long. Here, could you step up to the microphone there?
Thank you. My name is Mark Lancaster. I live in Morro Bay, and I live in North Morro Bay. I think I'm probably speaking for all the other people that are not assertive and not here right now.
A little bit louder. It's hard to hear you.
Okay. I don't know where the sound man is, but this needs a pop filter. That's why I'm staying back, so I won't see Amy at RTA in San Luis and told her about the fact that they heard that the North Morro Bay from 41 on up to Yerba Buena, the area where I live and other people live, that get off at around 5 o'clock. The little bus, big bus, whatever, there's probably 10, 15 people that are getting off. And it's at that time, and probably not so much during the day, afternoon, because they're at work or at school like I might be pretty soon. And I'm going to be relying on RTA. And when they get back in, when they get here at 4:45, or excuse me, 45 after the hour, and we've been dropped off 15 minutes ago, we're good to go. That's not happening now. We have to wait 45 minutes or a good half an hour somewhere around there, right? And so I'm sitting there going, okay, I've already drank my coffee. I'm ready for school, or I got to go to the doctor. I got to get to where I got to go. So if we can just kind of close that gap right there for in scheduling. And what I found out on that, that's the end of number one. And number two is I did speak with the RTA. They were going to bag all of North Main Street from Highway 41. Taco Bell was going to be their last stop. I would have to walk 2.5 miles to get to I have to drive farther than that or rely on the transit system if by chance they're still running then. And so what it boils down to, North Morro Bay should not be banned, and you can maybe bring that up with I'm the only one here for about 10 people, I know that. I'll go in and comment. And I'm being very, trying to be as clear as I can. They're getting on 41 and bypassing. I watch it go by. It's on Highway 1. How frustrating is that when they could drop off right where they used to here for quite a few times? And I was going to Cuesta, and when you get out of Cuesta, it's around 5 o'clock on the schedules that I was doing on all the classrooms and the credits that I was doing. So it really comes important to be able to rely on something that does run to about 7 or 6:30 to where it'll at least get me home at the end of the day, because I'm an injured person on recovery. And I really appreciate the work and time that you're all trying to pull together. I think it's pretty much just everybody, let's get our schedule together, let's see what we can hash out, and just do it at ASAP, because there's people that need to get to work and get to doctors like I. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for coming and commenting. And hopefully if we, if whatever recommendation, if we come back in a few months, you'll come back then also.
Okay. I just wanted to make it on the record, since this is live. In speaking with Amy and the other associates with RTA, if I'm at the bus at the park, and I guess it's bus 15 now, it's going forward, going north, they said, tell your bus driver that I will need a ride, and they will drop me off from Highway 41 somewhere, wherever, you know, but just let the driver know. That's on the record. I'm saying that because that's what I got emailed today. Let the driver know. They will drop you off. So I just want to make that clear as far as modification and clarification. I was told that, and I want other people to know that. I was told that by RTA, by 4 people. We're not excluding it. Just let the driver know, and I think that's very smart. If nobody's on Main, get on the Highway 41 and get the Cayucas and head on north. So anyway, I just want to make sure that's happening, and we can get Morro Bay Transit to get a little bit closer to the times that's going to San Luis. That'd be awesome. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay.
Thanks, Jay.
Well, thanks for coming. Thanks for commenting. Okay, then. We have one more public comment.
Good evening. Susan McDonnell, and I'm just going to be a minute, from Morro Bay Transit. Since we're here talking about transit, I just wanted to take a chance to tell people that they know the fixed route already, or you can get brochures from us that tell what it does, that it goes hourly around Morro Bay. But also the caller ride that we operate right now has, when people call for a caller ride, it's not that many people calling. So everybody really that calls gets the ride they ask for. And we can pick people up, and some of them are calling on the day of because we didn't prove to be that busy. Mostly we set up the rides for the next day. But people can call on the day of their ride at San Jacinto at maybe it's raining, maybe it's cold, maybe it's windy. You know, the factors involved in catching a bus are real personal. It's not easy to get out there, even in the dark, and stand and wait for a bus on the freeway. But, you know, what we have now is gets real close to where everyone lives. And that's why we think it's a real good system. And we just don't want to lose, you know, that door-to-door portion that people have now. So just pushing that. Thank you.
Well, thanks a lot for your comment. All right. Would someone like to make a motion, or we can use the motion that we have here?
I was going to motion to continue this to the October meeting, have staff come back with a revised staff report based on what they could work out with the RTA.
Would that be acceptable, Janine, or do you want to make a comment on this specifically, and then with maybe a writer saying we'll come back to it in a couple months?
I don't have an issue from the staff end to continue working with COG and RTA on refining this concept, or if miraculously some new concept comes forward. We can endeavor to have it ready for the October meeting. So that's about 2 months from now.
Is there a slow COG meeting in that time? Yeah.
They do their board meetings every other...
Yeah. Okay. All right, so we have a motion to continue, and
I second it.
We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, and the motion carries. We'll continue this to the October meeting of PWAB and see if what can happen then, and that'll just give it more time for the new RTA schedule to be in effect and see what happens with Morro Bay Transit. Okay, and all right, moving on to old business. There is no old business. And future agenda items. There are three here, Rob. Are there any particular ones that you think are going to come up first?
Mr. Wade's items, he promises us that we'll have them for next time.
Well, there are two.
Yeah.
Does that mean he's going to be a busy little guy?
And I think so, yeah.
All right.
He has a couple months to get ready. So.
Oh, that's true. It is 2 months. And what about the city facility tour?
Maybe we should talk about that for just a minute.
Okay.
Preferred time for it. It works probably best if we do it during daylight hours, rather than like a regular getting, you know, later in the year, getting dark. So
it would have to be a weekday, I guess.
Yeah. I was going to ask, how long do you think the tour would take?
We did it a couple years ago. I'm trying to remember how long that took. Probably an hour and a half.
I was on that trip, and it took about 2 hours.
Would it work?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask, this is purely selfish, could it work towards the end of the day, like 3 in the afternoon or 2:30? Or
I
go to Morro Bay at like 6 in the morning, and I could cut off early in the, you know, the other end of it. Nobody wants to get up at 6 to go out there, I'm sure.
If we go too long into winter, it'll be dark.
Yeah.
The afternoon, I think we've done it in the afternoon before. If you could, you set that up and let us know, Rob?
Set something up probably in the intervening 2 months, and then let everybody know, and we'll hold it as a special meeting.
Okay, sure. All right, so we'll do that.
Appreciate that.
And Dylan will bring those water conservation and collection system repairs to the next. next meeting. All right. And with that, the meeting is adjourned. The next meeting is Thursday, October 20th, my brother's birthday, at 6 p.m. And thank you very much. Goodbye, Marble Bay.